All right, I wish to greet you all this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's a pleasure to be with you all here again this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come before you and we thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. We thank you for all that you do for us. Lord, we just ask that you'd fill us with your Spirit, and give us wisdom, help us be faithful to you, and bring glory to you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. This morning, and several times there's an older man at the nursing home that I ask him how he's doing, and he just says, going round and round. And I've thought of that before this and from time to time. What he's saying is it's another day. We've gone another round. And every day this week, I mean it's Sunday, it's came around again. We've gone another round, we've gone another week. We just keep going around and around. And it seems the older you get, the more you observe and the more you notice that the rounds just get quicker and quicker and quicker. And that's this older man just saying that the made another round, or another day. It's just, we're in a big circle. I noticed this one time when I was in India, sitting on a roof balcony, the other side of the world. So I would wake up really early in the morning, way before, because it wasn't time to sleep. So I would be early in the morning, and as the sun was coming up again, going around again, I noticed every morning sitting on that balcony, I would hear a wagon with a cow, and they would be headed off, and pretty soon a little motorcycle would come by, and pretty soon you'd hear on the street there'd be a man selling brooms or something. They go to door, they just go down the streets just yelling out what they were selling. And then someone would be selling milk. And then a bus would go by and they'd have a distinct sound as he blew his horn going through. The next morning, it was the same old thing. You could just tell, okay, it's time for this. It's time for this. And after several mornings, just you would hear, okay, it's time for this to go by. And that to go by. It was just like a big circle that they just go by every day. Every day. And that's our life. It's such a blessing that our life is a circle. And that there is a renewing every morning. Because it's a circle. And we have another day to do better than we did the day before. It's just like our new life, it's a new day is dawning, a new opportunity to better ourselves, to improve our lives and our hearts, not in the things necessarily that we do see, but in those things that are invisible to our eye. You can't build anything about them. Mercy, faith, peace. You can't see those things. They're produced. They're something that happened. There's something that we choose to do, but you can't see them. To have a day where I can improve on my compassion. Can you build anything on that? You can't see it. You can't feel it. You can't. But you can live it. To have another day to have mercy, to have joy. Those fruit of the Spirit, those things that God has given that are available that we can't see. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, goodness. You can't just say, oh, there it is, or there it is. But it just happens sometimes, and there it is. That's the thing about the things of God, the spiritual things. They're real, and they will last. And yet, they're not rock, they're not earth, they're not anything that you can just point to and say, this is how I get that, or this is what it is. It's something that you choose day by day, every time you go around. And those things are the things that we're building for eternity. It's just, we were talking this week and just about a failure. You have a day, you fail. You have a day that everything just goes wrong and you mess everything up. But isn't it wonderful that we're on a circle and that it comes back around and we get another opportunity. We get another chance. It's another day, another week, another time that God has granted to us. And then we were talking about it. You know, we read about the city in Jerusalem, New Jerusalem. Guess what? It's square. It tells about it being however tall it is and however wide it is. And it's a city four square, they said. It's not going around anymore. There's no need for a sun or a moon, because God is there. And once we've continued all of our little circles, whatever we've built will be then on that square. It didn't change anymore. It's solid. It's a foundation. It tells about its foundations and its doors. And it's solid. You'll be able to see love, joy. It won't be something that just, oh, there's a little glimpse of it, or there's a little glimpse of it. It will be real. And all the stuff we think is so real won't be there. There will be no need for the sun, because then it'll all be square. This hear people that believe that the earth is flat. Well, we better hope it's not. Because once it's flat, there's no need for a change anymore. There's no another opportunity for another day, because it's all just flat. Flat is when we get through this trial and we enter into the kingdom of God. The round earth is such a blessing. It's God's mercy renewed every morning. It's God's blessing to us to get another chance, another day, to do better, to improve our lives. The children's lesson this morning was talking about, one of the things was how when Jesus was born that Herod wanted all the children killed. You know, we think, oh, he was just envious. But there's a bigger plan than that. Why did Herod really want Jesus, all the babies, put to death so that Jesus wouldn't be king? It wasn't about being a king. It was about to extinguish. It was a plan for Satan to extinguish the hope that was going to come to set this world free, to set us free from those things. Why did Moses want to kill all of the children? Because the same thing. All the battles all the hatred towards the Jewish people, even from Adam and Eve, that if Adam could be made to where he couldn't pass the seed along, then the hope would never get here. From the very beginning, Satan's plan for the Jewish people was to destroy them, because God made a promise that the deliverer would come through them. That's why God preserved Noah and the children and his children, so that that little bloodline could continue, so that our Savior could come through that. Because if Satan could extinguish that bloodline, if he could wipe out that band of people, they couldn't produce the hope. God said that that's where it would come from. And so all the battles, all the fighting, all the destruction is centered around God delivering this line of people. That's the genealogies that the Bible talks about. All ties back to that. So that God could send a deliverer. Someone that would make going around again worth living for. Another hope. That was the promise that God gave, a hope. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, we'll begin. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Do we spend our time going around being free? Freeing ourselves from the chains of things in this world that tie us and bind us and make us slaves? It was for freedom that Christ set us free. The very purpose of God creating man in the first place is for God to create a being that was free to love Him, to worship Him, and be free. When Satan tempted Eve and Adam fell, man became a slave. In chains to his passions, in chains to Satan. And it took Jesus dying and rising again after living a life that was free. His whole life he was free. He wasn't living in fear. He wasn't living for anything else but for God and being free. That doesn't mean he was just a rebel, just going around causing trouble, just being obnoxious. That's what many people call freedom. But they're in bonds themselves. Just in bonds of their own will. There was many things Jesus did that everyone else was doing because it didn't bring him in chains. It didn't bring bondage to him. But then there were things that he just didn't go along with because he knew it would bring bondage. Yielding to Satan brings bondage. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to slavery. You know, we think about this. Over later in the chapter, it talks about the deeds of the flesh that are evident: immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, disputes, dissensions, fractions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. We think of those things when we think about being free, about overcoming this world. Then verse 2, it says, "Behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no benefit of you." Whenever we think of freedom, often we think of freedom from all those vices and those bad things, which we need to be free of. But between verse 1 and over where those are, he starts talking about things that had brought people into bondage that really had little to do with some of this other stuff that we read about. "And I testify again to you, every man who receives circumcision, that he is under obligation to keep the whole law. You've been severed from Christ. You are seeking to be justified by the law. You have fallen from grace." You see, when religion, when we're being religious to try to impress God, to try to save our own hides, we are just as much in bondage as those people that are doing all those bad things that everybody hates. Those things that you can see that nobody likes. Jesus came to set us free. And that freedom is to love God, to love our neighbor as ourselves. There's so much pressure in the world for everything just to go along. And it's just pressure. It's a bondage to try to work everything out and try to make everything just perfect. Try to build our own little box on this earth. We live on a round world. And it goes around. It's moving. And only freedom can move along with it. Freedom gives us the opportunity to accept changes that come our way. Things that come at us, we're moving. We can roll right through them and go right on. When we start building this little box, we can't accept anything like that. We've got to have it all squared away and all fit, or it doesn't work. It's just amazing when you look at creation. God didn't make boxes. The trees, you look at the trees, they're not big, just boxes, blocks of wood standing out there with square leaves on them. Everything that He made is rounded. It's flowing. It's moving. That's what freedom looks like. A box where everything's just the way I can understand it and see it, it's not freedom. We build these boxes. The problem is we build them around ourselves and we build a little jail cell right around us because we think this is what it takes. And Christ came for freedom to set us free. There's so many identities in the world. Everybody's trying to identify who they are, or this group over here, or this box of people over here, or that. And it's all bondage. Freedom lives this life loving God and their neighbor as their self. And it's just that simple. If you try to build a box, you've severed from Christ. You who are seeking to be justified by the law have fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, by faith, are waiting for the hope of righteousness. For we, through the Spirit, by faith, are waiting for the hope of righteousness. Righteousness is not something that we put in a box or that we've accomplished. Heaven is where the city four square is. That we can see those things for real. Right now, we're on the circle. And we live this life out. We are righteous when we're free. Loving God, loving our neighbor as ourselves. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but faith working through love. All of this box means nothing. The teachings of Jesus, the teachings of the New Testament, are all sprung out of, or outgrow out of, freedom. This righteousness, this faith, working itself out through love. It's not just a rule book to keep. Love your neighbor is not just a rule that we check off. It's something that we live every day. Not resisting evil when it's all around us. It's not just a rule book that we check off to build a little box. It's overcoming evil with good. See, that's the whole circle. That's faith flowing every day. Going around again. Every week. Going around again. It's not throwing an anchor out somewhere and saying, this is where I'm going to stand and stop. Being faithful and standing firm is walking in this faith that produces love. Such a blessing. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. These are not things you put in a box. The Spirit is living this life day by day and in each passing moment, living this life. And when we fail, praise the Lord, the sun will come up again tomorrow. And we have another opportunity to become what we need to be. Not by just religious strife, but by actually getting in this battle of life. Every day. You know, we're in a huge war. And having a battle, you know, whenever you look at history, almost every battle, every war, there was a time that it looked hopeless to the one who actually won the war. Many times, even in the with the children of Israel, they had to get defeated a few times before they won the war. Almost every war that there was a battle worth fighting for, there was defeats along the way. There was losses. There was casualties along the way. But the people who win the war are the ones who keep going, who get up, after the loss. Because there's another day. We've gone around again. And we get another opportunity to heal up, to strengthen up, and to go again. Toil on, and in thy toil rejoice, for toil comes rest, for exile home. Soon shalt thou hear the bridegroom's voice, the midnight peal, behold, I come. That city that the Bible talks about, heaven, the afterlife, whatever you want to call it. That's where the rest is. That's where you can sit back on a solid, square foundation and just rest on it. Saying this is what we are. This is what we are. Because what we've built, what we've conquered, is what we will be. But while we're here, fighting this battle, and it looks like we're beat up, it looks like we're lost, it looks like everything, there's no hope. Our hope is not in the battle we're fighting today, but our hope is in the Christ. Our hope is in the Father who sees all, and knows all, and knows what we need to go through to get there. And day by day, another round, another round, we work that out. Trusting in Him. We fail today. Praise God. There's another day coming tomorrow. May the Lord bless us as we pursue, as we continue to go around and around and around this earth, that we may find that rest when the Lord says, come home. This is not our home. And may the Lord add His blessings.
Rise, glorious God, rise into
Yeah.
shall pass.